From theunce.com, this is the Unce Podcast. Featuring artist interviews, unreleased tracks, and previews of the biggest events in electronic music. Available every week at theunce.com. Hello and welcome to the Unce Podcast. I'm your host, Anand Harsh. My guest this week is Sherwin Nichols of the hip-hop and live electronic act Too Fresh. Nichols, along with his twin brother Kendrick, grew up listening to rap in Nashville, Tennessee, but a chance encounter with STS9 and Alex B got their creative juices flowing, and within a month, the duo was playing after parties along with live drummer Colby Buckler. Now based in Nashville, North Carolina, the twins have set up their own Lab Coat Collective, bringing together and supporting producers and MCs throughout the Smoky Mountain region. Too Fresh has a brand new album out today, Airmail. It's available on Elm and Oak and 1320 Records. Let's get to the interview. Let's start from the beginning. Were you and Kendrick born and raised in Nashville?
No. We were actually born in Brooklyn, New York, and then raised in Nashville, Tennessee. I didn't move to Asheville till I went to college.
Okay. Well, obviously Nashville is a huge musical spot. What sort of music were you exposed to growing up? A lot of the country and western of the area, and the blues and rock as well?
Absolutely not, actually. I was really a lot more into like 3-6 Mafia and straight up like gangster rap because my older brothers, like 92Q, I was like 12, 11 years old, like 6 o'clock on the radio, the illest beats would come on like 92Q that nobody else could hear in the country. You know, it's just all like local stuff.
Yeah.
So I was really always just sneaking around listening to just rap, and kind of got into some like instrumental music, but wasn't really into it till high school.
When you were into the instrumental music, did you or your brother actually pick up instruments?
Yeah, I picked up the bass guitar when I was in second grade, and Kendrick picked up the regular, just the 6-string guitar.
Do you remember your first introduction to electronic music, be it DJs or otherwise?
Yeah, my first the first time I heard like electronic music was I'd listened to my older brothers were into like the Disco Biscuits and stuff like that, but I never really caught on to it. But I had searched on archive.org. It was like this website a long time ago that you get like live shows of all the electronic bands or jam bands and Grateful Dead stuff.
Sure.
I stumbled on Soundtribe, and that's really like what stumbled me into just making beats that have no words or anything like that. Just like chill stuff, you know?
Did you immediately want to start creating your own beats when you heard that?
No, I didn't actually. I ended up following and just like going to see bunches of Sector 9 shows for like a year and a half. And it wasn't till like Rothbury that we were kicking it there, and I met a couple of the guys from Soundtribe, and they were talking to me, and so was Alex Botwin, about just making music. And after we got back from Rothbury, me and Kendrick just started. I had a Mac already, so I just started making beats, and it turned out well.
Were you always producing with Kendrick, or did you not actually start collaborating with him until you'd been doing it for a while? Were you just sort of making it by yourself for a while?
Always did it together.
When did you realize that the beats that you were creating, you could actually do something with it? Like, people wanted to hear it or use them?
It took like 2 weeks for us to have like 5 tracks done. Like, this is like 3 or 4 years ago. And we played like a house party for our friends in Chattanooga, and it was fun. Like, a lot of people showed up, and after like a week after that, Dave Sheldon, who does all the Euphonic Conception after parties and stuff, asked us to do the Sector 9 after party in Nashville. And we went up there to play it, and it just so happened that Colby Buckler was playing with our homie Art, and he's got a project right now called This Is Art. But he was playing with him, and we were just like, "What if you played some drums to some of our tracks?" And he did. And it sounded all right. It wasn't the best, but it definitely was something to keep watching. So we kept going with it, and it turned out right. You know, it turned out to be the Too Fresh sound.
How long after you started creating your own beats were you playing this after party?
It was probably like a month, really. It wasn't too long, like four or five weeks.
My God, that is quick.
Yeah. Like, the first show we ever even played, me and Kendrick were playing on the same computer. Like, we didn't have money or anything. We had just one Mac computer, so it was us on both me and him on one desktop Mac.
That's the Too Fresh remix of Jabel's Hot Snacks.
I'd like to maybe pull back the curtain a little bit on your live show. Let's first talk about Colby. So you sort of brought him in on a whim. When did you begin to solidify what his role is with the Too Fresh live show?
Well, at first, I mean, playing with the drummer, most bands usually work by the tempos going by the drummer, you know. And the difference between when we're on stage is, like, the drummer is more of a slave to the computer on our live set because our computers aren't going to skip, and maybe they will, but either way, he's going to have to adapt. And once we started really realizing that, and me and Kendrick's role in transitions also helps him, it's kind of like a full-on, it went from being him a slave to the computer to us being all as one, doing it, knowing what's going to happen, you know?
And then you had mentioned this earlier, obviously you and Kendrick are on different computers now. What's going on during any given song? Who's controlling what and triggering this or calling that up? How do you communicate in a crowded, noisy club, or are you just using that twin telekinesis?
I mean, a lot of it is kind of like telekinesis. We beat match a lot of the tracks, and then we've been cutting up a lot of samples that we've used in older tracks and just redoing them on stage a little bit more, having the bass ready and just cueing them all together. Like, a lot of people, when they have two computers up there, they'll MIDI sync their computers, but that kind of takes away from the organic feeling of being on stage and trying to do it like a DJ would, you know, like just like how, you know, if you had turntables or whatever. That's how we like to go about it as ours. Like, we'll have sometimes just regular tracks that are fully rendered, that we spent mad time on, that it would be so hard to recreate on stage. And then we have some stuff that's like more simplistic, that's more like hip-hop-y, that we do on stage just for the feel of it and the swing of it.
Are you focused on one maybe part of the music or the other? Like, you and Kendrick grew up playing, you know, bass and then guitar. Do you handle bass and he handles melody, or is it just completely collaborative?
Not anymore, really. It's more of just like, just really getting in the studio and finding a vibe. Sometimes it's like I'll be at my house and I'll get like the backbone of a track and go over there, and then we'll finish it together. Or we'll just wake up early morning, start something straight from scratch, go all the way through it. It goes all around, you know. So that's why I think our sound right now is growing a lot more, that we have so much time to also be apart and come together to make the Too Fresh sound.
And I want to get back to that in a minute, but first, taking a look at your upcoming dates, there's a huge variety. You've got club dates, yeah, playing a huge amphitheater, opening up for Pretty Lights. You've got frat parties down south. And then you're working huge festival slots at Summer Camp at Electric Forest. Do you prepare differently for each type of show or venue? Or at this point, is it just business as usual? You've become so used to it. It's just about focusing in on what you're doing. And there's no real adaptation from a club to a festival slot or this or that.
Definitely not. There's definitely a whole different vibe on even what time you're playing at the festival slot. Fraternity parties, we really always like to keep it really, really hype, unless it's like, you know, we'll start out with just some crazy stuff that maybe some people may not get, and then really try to correlate it into the, that just whatever frat people want to hear, you know, like the the bang and bass and whatever we had, what have you, you know. And we always do like throw in tracks of like just mainstream, because that's really what I love, you know. And whereas at like the festival gigs and stuff like that, we kind of try to make more of an impact on the setting of like, if it's daytime, it's more beautiful, more hip hoppy, and at nighttime, it's more rowdy. You know, it's all on where it's at.
And I imagine, you know, you're just about to turn 22. It must have been difficult for you guys to get into the clubs in the first place anyway, right?
Yeah, oh man. The first time we ever played the Mercy Lounge in Nashville, Tennessee, right before we went on stage, me and Kenneth were drinking whiskey, and the bouncer saw us, and we get straight on stage when he's coming to pull us off. Right after the set, he comes right on stage and pulls us right off, ear out. With a full crowd, so I mean, we've had some times that we've gotten away with it.
Oh, geez. Well, I mean, turning 21, suddenly it seemed like 2010 was your big coming out year. Suddenly you're playing every major festival over the summer and playing great clubs on great nights, you know, main weekend nights during the rest of the year. Is it just a matter of you pounding the pavement for so long to be where you are now, or did something magical happen?
A lot of our success is definitely how hard we've worked on dedicating our time and lives to the live aspect, because I mean, me and Kendrick are pretty young. I mean, we have a lot of material, but we have a lot of room to get better, and that's what we love, because a lot of the cats that are blown up have been in the game for 10 years. We got plenty of time, and I'm really proud and excited of what's about to happen.
Pretty boy, here I come. Pops in the bunk, make you wanna hurt something. I can take it, man, I don't have to sex some. Hang him out the window, call me Michael Jackson.
I'm a pain in your rec.
I am that bitch you don't step on. Heavy hit a rhyme, spit a call me rerun. Hey, 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 I'm what's happening. Hypnotic in my drink.
That's right.
Shake your ass till it's dead.
That's right.
Mr. Moe's on the beat.
That's right.
Fresh remix of Missy Elliott's Pass the Dutch. Let's wrap up the interview. So let's talk about the new album, Airmail. It's out today on Elm & Oak and 1320 Records. How does it differ from your earlier releases, like the Baker's Dozen EP or some of your other singles that you've put out there?
It's all original. It's all, there's no samples. There's nothing that we all put all our time into every track. The sounds, everything, we kind of stepped up the stuff that we know. We've been reading books and just trying to make it sound more professional and more of like songs, whereas the Baker's Dozen was like a beat tape kind of, you know. It's we wanted to make it full on just an album, not just a compilation of tracks and beats.
So tell me about actually writing the album. Were you and Kendrick working collaboratively the whole time, or did you have some more control on a certain track or some others or his? And did you maybe even bring Colby in on some of the writing?
No, we actually, some of the beats we got Colby to write, like actually program them in. We don't really do any of the live recording of his drums, just because I think that's what embraces the step up from headphones to live.
Sure.
We also had a bunch of our homies, like the Lab Coat homie, Jables, help produce a couple of the tracks with us. And the last track on the album is co-produced with Body Language. But whereas roles and tracks, we basically always collaborate together on each track. The reason why we called the whole album Airmail was because for that year and a half, or that year we were on tour, we've been starting new tracks and and having a bunch of different just ideas, which is really sometimes hard to finish stuff on the road.
Sure.
And so when we came back from that big tour with Mimosa, we just basically locked ourselves up in the crib and finished every single track that was basically from all around the started all around the country, and that's why we called it Airmail. So I think it's really fitting, you know.
Tell me about your Lab Coat Collective that you started there in Asheville.
It's a bunch of homies, really, that Jables, we all grew up in Nashville together, but he came out here once we moved, and we all together just, it includes my solo beats, Kendo's solo beats, Jables, Bookworm, Peripheral, and we put out like a Lab Coat mix every month or so, and we've got a bunch of other releases coming out, but we've released one album with a collective of all of our tracks and a Too Fresh track on there. But it's basically just a way for us to strengthen the beat scene on the East Coast, because it really feels like there's not too many people coming together. They're trying to do it all on their own, but strength in numbers is always the way to go, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, Asheville is known a lot for its live music, its bluegrass, and then some of its more instrumental music, like Two Bob Crew, for instance.
Yeah,
what's the beat-making scene like in Asheville and in that whole sort of Western North Carolina and the Atlantic Seaboard area?
There's quite a bit of producers out here. The whole thing is that the music doesn't always get out that quickly because of the amount of like jam bands and folk music out here. But the scene's really strong. It just needs to be fully tapped into, and that's what we're having Lab Coat do right now.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So, a quick question. You released a remix of Missy Elliott's Pass the Dutch to hype the album. I'm just curious about your approach to remixing a track. What do you look for when you're deciding what track to remix, and what do you try to accomplish with your own output?
When I remix a track, it's really like, I just want to get the vocals and make a really dope track. Doesn't even matter if I use the verses sometimes. I'll just, like, you know, use the hook if that's the powerful part of the track. But the Pass the Dutch song is just amazing. Even just the instrumental itself is amazing. That's why we included part of it in, like, the second half or so, just because it's got the illest bounce, and it's also East Coast stuff, you know. I really stress what we have over here, and I want to strengthen it as much as we can. And with remixes, I feel like it helps a lot of people that have never heard beats really like with electronic feel to it, kind of accept it more because they know the lyrics or they have something to relate to. You know, it's kind of the same thing with any other remix.
And finally, I mean, this album, it's going to be huge for you. It's a brand new chapter in your life. But I wonder, going back a little bit, signing on with a huge label like 1320 Records must have been life-changing for you. I mean, it's a serious label, and you got into this whole scene because of STS9, so it's got to be, you know, amazing for you.
Yeah, of course, and they're also posting it on the 1320 Records also to sell it there, iTunes, Alpha Pup. There'll be plenty of outlets for the album, so it's really great to have the people that you look up to behind you, you know.
Absolutely. This album's going to be huge. We're really looking forward to it. Sherwin Nichols, thanks so much for being on the Unz podcast.
Yeah, man. Appreciate that so much.
Well, that's going to do it for this week's Unz podcast. Special thanks go to Scott Shapiro with MCP Presents, and of course, my guest, Sherwin Nichols. Airmail is out today on Elm and Oak and 1320 Records. You can grab it from a number of places. Too Fresh has also been added to several major festivals, including Summer Camp and Electric Forest Festival. All your Too Fresh details are at theunz.com. Coming up next week, R.D. White will be on the Unz podcast. RD has been spinning in LA for ages, coming up with acts like Square Pusher and Prefuse 73, even DJing at the nascent Coachella Festival in 2000. After a move to film scoring, RD came back to production, inspired by his roommates Ed Ma and Joshua Mayer, who were just getting started on a little project called The Glitch Mob. Remember to visit theunz.com for news, artist profiles, and tour dates from across the electronic music spectrum. There are also some great contests at theunz.com. You could win tickets to Summer Camp, Wakarusa, Ott and Primitive, Mimosa and Arch Nemesis, or a number of Biodiesel and Will Estates. Go ahead and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, write us a review, tell us what you think of the show.
If you have any questions, comments, or complaints about the program, or you'd like to be a guest on the UNS podcast, contact me at anand@theuns.com. That's ANAND @theuns.com. Catch you next week.